Well, let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm number one. The Psalm number one and the whole of the Psalm. Now let us read in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and the opening verses. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And it would be good for us to remind ourselves of the closing verses in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28. And the last two verses are very significant. The final verses of Acts. "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding or hindering him. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we sing and read from the scriptures again today, help us to remember that these words are all written to make us wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the whole of the scripture is inspired by God and comes from God and leads us to God and tells us about God and about ourselves, about sin and about salvation. And we are glad as we gather this morning, Heavenly Father, that we can do so freely and without interruption or persecution. And we are glad for that wise providence that has placed us in this place now. And as we assemble, we pray that we would remember that our gathering is not simply a social or a fellowship or even a familial gathering, but a gathering of worshippers to come before the Lord. And in the scriptures, we have many examples and many exhortations to attend these holy convocations and to come before God with all the needs of our hearts and the praises of our hearts and the sadness of our hearts and the joys of our hearts, because we are a mixed multitude. And from time to time, we are a mixture within ourselves. And today we may be rejoicing or mourning, and tomorrow something different. But always we are conscious, O Lord, that we live in a state of flux, and all around us is changing, and we ourselves are changing, and time does not stand still. But as the scripture reminds us, our days are as a tale that is told, and we are like the grass that it grows up in the morning, and at the noonday it may be cut down, and at evening it fades away. And so we are glad for the occasions that cause for gladness, and we rejoice this morning, O God, that once again we have the Lord's Day and the Lord's people and this place which is set aside for prayer and the preaching of the gospel and the ingathering of saints and the building up of the saints. And so we come this morning with true thanksgiving, because we have so many things to rejoice over and to look back upon with joyfulness and to look ahead also with joy, because we are reminded that the gospel is essentially a message of great joy to all the people according to the angelic announcement of the birth of Christ. And we have been reminded recently, O Lord, that it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so we look away to Jesus once again, and what we see is worth looking at, and what we hear is worth listening to, because there is no bad news in the gospel, and there is nothing to destroy us or confuse us in looking unto Jesus. And so we pray that the gathering here this morning would be a gathering to honor God's great name and the great works, the right hand of the Lord. He does valiantly. And the psalmist says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. And so we pray, our gracious God, that throughout the world today, as we gather here, we know there are millions of Christians gathering in a variety of circumstances and a variety of opinions and understandings, but all together looking unto Jesus. And we pray that throughout the world there would be rejoicing this day in the naming of Christ in many languages, because we know that the Church of Christ still speaks in tongues, the tongues and the languages of the world. And so we pray for all these gatherings. We pray for the preachers of the gospel, that they would have Christ supreme in their ministry and in their motivations and in their affections. And the hearers of the gospel today, perhaps hearing for the first time, perhaps hearing after many times, but hearing today, hearing for life and everlasting joy. So we give thanks most high for our existence, that we live, that we have been born in, and that we have been born in a gospel age and in places where the gospel is known. And these are God's unspeakable gifts to us, but above all, Christ, the greatest gift. God gave his only begotten Son as a free gift for the salvation of a lost world. And in him we rejoice this morning. And for God's glory we pray. And in Jesus' name we pray all things always. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and picking up the reading at verse 14. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, at verse 14. You may remember that last time we were with you, we were considering the first 13 verses and looking at the beginning of Jesus' ministry after his baptism, and the first thing he did was to go into the desert to be tempted and win the victory over Satan. And at the very beginning of his ministry, he had won the victory for us. And at verse 14, we pick up the narrative, Luke chapter 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister or the overseer and sat down. And all the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, unto Sarepta or Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up to thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And so on. Amen. And the announcements are as follows. The evening service, of course, at 6 o'clock this evening. And the midweek meeting, as usual, at 7 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, the usual hours, 10:30 a.m., 6 p.m. The preacher next Lord's Day will be your interim moderator, the Reverend Robin Soe from Newcastle, and he will be functioning during the vacancy as the minister pro tem, as it were, of the congregation. So he will be looking after your interests. And I'm sure the elders will be explaining further the details of what an interim moderator is to do. There's also a notice here concerning the deacon's court is to meet on Saturday, this coming Saturday at 4 p.m. So deacons, please take note, meeting at Linfield. And after this service, I understand there is to be a kind of presentation. I understand some people have signed a card, and so we invite you to remain behind after the intimation for a brief time only, and I'm not sure what exactly will take place. It's something that I didn't plan. It's unexpected in a sense, but you're invited to remain behind for a few more minutes, and we'll see what happens. We welcome visitors. As always, we're glad to see you this morning, and the offering will now be received. Well, let us continue to sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 2, the second psalm, and verses 1 to 7.